Our Country, the Marvel of Nations, Appendix. Anarchy strikes its first blow. The most serious blow against the existence of this government, perpetrated by violence, occurred at Buffalo, New York, at the Great Pan American Exposition, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday, September 6, 1901. At that hour, William McKinley, President of the United States, was standing in the Temple of Music in the presence of 3,000 persons, while 10,000 others stood without, waiting their chance to enter and shake hands with the president. In this line of friends stood a fiend named Leon Czolgosz, pronounced Czolgosz. In his left hand, wrapped about with a handkerchief as if laboring under some injury, he concealed a pistol, the weapon of murder. And as he approached Mr. McKinley and was apparently about to shake the hand proffered in kindness and goodwill, he discharged 2 shots point blank at the president's person. The first bullet struck the breastbone and glanced off, with no apparent harm. But the second went through both walls of the stomach and lodged in the fleshy tissues of the back. The best medical and surgical skill was immediately summoned, and the physicians labored earnestly to beat back the power of the destroyer. When the news of what was done spread through the crowd, their rage was such that repeated attempts were made to lynch the assassin on the spot, and only by the most strategical movements of the police was he spirited away to escape their power. The whole country was shocked and stunned into a condition of paralysis by this revolting crime. Encouragement was at first held out that the wound would not prove fatal, and the president would survive. And thus the feelings of the nation vibrated between hope and fear as they watched with breathless anxiety the hourly reports of the president's condition. But at length, nature gave up the struggle, and a few hours over a week from the dastardly attack, at 2:30 on the morning of September 14th, William McKinley, the 25th President of the United States, breathed his last, struck down by the hand of an anarchist who glories in the deed and the principles which led to it. An autopsy showed that from the nature of his wounds, no human power could have averted the fatal result. Probably no president, not even Washington or Lincoln, ever enjoyed so wide-extended and continuous a degree of popularity among the people as did President McKinley. Not only this country, but the whole civilized world bowed in horror and shame before this diabolical deed. Expressions of public sentiment everywhere, and from all classes, joined in unanimous execration of the foul frenzy. President Roosevelt proclaimed Thursday, September 19th, as a day of mourning for this country, and Edward VII of England ordered 30 days' mourning of his court in token of sympathy with this stricken nation. Theodore Roosevelt, the vice president, immediately assumed his place at the head of the government in accordance with the suffrages of the people who had elected him to that place should occasion demand his services. Mr. McKinley had not completed the first year of his second term of the presidency, and the duties of that office for the 3.5 years that remain will devolve upon Mr. Roosevelt, he being the youngest man, aged 43, called to that position in the history of the government. He took the oath of office as President of the United States in the afternoon of September 14th. He enters upon his duties with the cordial support and goodwill of a vast majority of the American people. But he will need to surround himself with every safeguard for his protection, for as a new feature of these later times, anarchy is in the land. Judge John R. Hazel of the United States Circuit Court administered the oath, and immediately after the ceremony, President Roosevelt, addressing the members of the dead president's cabinet, most of whom were present, outlined his policy in a few brief words as follows. In this hour of deep and terrible national bereavement, I wish to state that it shall be my intention and endeavor to continue absolutely unbroken the policy of President McKinley for the peace, prosperity, and honor of our beloved country. We have called this the first blow of anarchy, and the most serious blow that violence has dealt against the existence of the government. In this, we do not overlook the assassination of 2 noble presidents in the past, the lamented Lincoln in April 1865 and Garfield July 2, 1881. But the assassination of these men was owing to the acrimony of political partisanship. But this case is entirely different and furnishes a new symptom of the terrible disease that has seized upon society. In a time of profound peace, a time of unprecedented prosperity, when no one, not even the assassin himself, had any personal grievance against the president, nor any fear of injustice or oppression from his policy, an anarchist with a foreign name which no English tongue can readily pronounce, and feelings against liberty, against society, and against humanity which no English heart could entertain, lifts his hand in public and deliberate murder in the name and in behalf of anarchy, and for the sake of anarchy and its hellish purposes. Nowhere can society be safe while such a spirit rules. It is a crime against humanity, fostered by a spirit breaking out just now in new virulence from the bottomless pit. It is a sign of the evil times that are upon us. This is the first time that anarchy, as such, has raised its hand against this nation, and it must continue to grow worse unless that spirit can be eradicated from society. This is the disease. How can it be remedied? By keeping as far as possible from the political and social conditions of the old world. These conditions suggest and foster anarchy. Our history has shown that this country is not a favorite home for anarchy. Anarchy has, to be sure, flourished theoretically here for many years, but not overtly against the life of this nation. But anarchists have found this a free country, and so a convenient place for them to plot and conspire against their rulers in the old world. Now, there is a great outcry for the suppression of anarchy here. But how shall it be done? Shall it be by making this country less free than it is? That would be simply to make our society more like that in the old world, which is the home of anarchy. It would be to deal only with the symptoms, and in so doing, to aggravate the disease.